Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Jed Babin, contributing editor to the American Spectator, sitting in again for Dr. Michael Savage today. And thank you again, Dr. Savage, for lending me your microphone. Look, we've got a big show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to have Governor John Sununu, former New Hampshire Governor John Sununu, coming in later in the show to talk about the absolute insanity of the Obama campaign and some of the things that he's run into lately in the press. We're also going to have, even later in the show, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, former Congressman Pete Hoekstra of Michigan, who's running for the United States Senate in that state. And we've got a lot to talk about. Well, we talked yesterday quite a bit about Mitt Romney's choice of Paul Ryan as his running mate. It's a good choice. It's probably going to pay off handsomely in a lot of different states. And the real issue today is the utter craziness going on in the Obama campaign. We're going to be talking about Joe Biden's statement. Now, we try in this program to poke fun at Joe. I mean, he's a pretty funny guy. He's a little bit loose in the head, and he just doesn't really think a whole lot before he speaks. But he came up with something today that is so totally outrageous. We really need to get into it a little bit. And we're going to be talking about the latest fictitious character, this time not from the White House, but from the media. We're going to be talking about CNN's Medicare Marlene. If you remember, the life of Julia that came up on the president's website a few months ago, and the fictitious life of, oh, this poor lady who was coddled from cradle to grave by the nanny government. Well, if you love Julia, you're going to love Medicare Marlene. Well, right now, what I want to focus on is what's going on in the campaign and why it's so very important to defeat Barack Obama this fall. Now, the campaign has gotten as nasty as anyone could have imagined, and it's getting worse every single day. Mitt Romney spoke out about that just today in Florida. Romney 5, please.
It's smear, it's dirt, it's distortion, it's deception, it's dishonesty.
It's Democrats. That's exactly right. It's the distortions. It's the dirt. When you end up with the Vice President of the United States speaking today in Danville, Virginia, the Vice President of the United States, first off, didn't really understand where he was. And let's hit Biden 1, please, just to make that point.
Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that with you, and I mean this, with you, we can win North Carolina again. And if we do, we win the election if we win you.
Right. Okay. You. Yeah, good job, Joe. But he wasn't in North Carolina. He was in Virginia. And what he came up with next is really so far out there. I'm beginning to wonder if Joe Biden is getting coaching from Howard Dean. I mean, all that is left is the scream. Listen to what Biden says. And he's talking, don't forget, he's talking to an audience that's about half black. And he says this about what's going on in the Republican camp and what Mitt Romney wants to do. Biden, chains, please.
They've said it. Every Republican's voted for it. Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Really? Really, Joe? Now, y'all, I love that touch. He's speaking to a southern audience, about half of them black Americans, and he says, y'all. Now, this is a guy from Delaware. What does he know from y'all? But the real point here is the unnecessary meanness of this guy, the outrageousness of that statement. You know, let's not talk about Wall Street in terms of regulations. And of course, what he said about what Mitt Romney's position is totally untrue. What Romney wants to do is let some of the relief that goes to the banks go to a lot of other companies, too, to let them have a relief from some of the onerous regulations and laws that have been passed, like the Dodd-Frank's nonsense, which is adding hundreds of millions of dollars to the cost of running any financial institution every year. But that's not what Biden was talking about. He's saying, ha, 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 yeah, they're going to put you all back in chains. How dare he? How dare he? You're talking about a serious candidate for the United States presidency, Mitt Romney, and his running mate, a serious candidacy for the vice presidency, Paul Ryan. And he's saying they're going to put you back in chains. They're going to enslave you. You black people are going to be enslaved if Mitt Romney wins the election. How dare he? How dare he? This is only part of the story, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we talked a lot about Paul Ryan yesterday. Let me just go for a couple of minutes and point out what you get. What do you get if you re-elect Barack Obama and Joe Biden? You don't just get them. What you get is their whole menagerie, that whole clown circus they call a cabinet. Some really bad people doing some really bad things. And we know their track record. If you vote for Barack Obama and Joe Biden, first off, you get another 4 years of Eric Holder. We talked a lot yesterday about the Fast and Furious investigation and how Holder is stonewalling and how he let this Fast and Furious operation get way, way out of control, costing at least one American life, maybe more. Border Patrolman Brian Terry is dead because of Fast and Furious. Well, we had that. Well, we also have his refusal to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, right? This is just one of those things that President Obama and his coterie of friends says, well, you know, we don't like this law. We're just not going to defend it. We have all sorts of things from, oh, Eric Holder's track record is so great. Hey, I guess he's still suing Arizona on its illegal immigration statute. He's also suing Alabama on their illegal immigration statute. He doesn't want these people, our states, he doesn't want us to be able to make decisions locally. This is all for the federal government to know, and to all the federal government's great judgment to be imposed upon us, and all the federal government's rights. No, the federal government doesn't have any rights. The Constitution gives us rights to decide for ourselves, and that is what these guys don't want us to do. They want, now, they're suing Ohio. You know what Ohio's offense is? Ohio's offense is to try to implement part of a federal law which allows an extended time for early voting for military people overseas. And what Eric Holder and company are doing right now, they're targeting Ohio. They're targeting Ohio's military voters because they fear the military vote. And what they're trying to do is prevent Ohio from allowing that early voting by military members. If that's not as outrageous as you can imagine, well, don't forget, Eric Holder is the guy who wanted to move the people, the terrorists in Gitmo, back to the United States. He wanted to move them, especially Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the 9/11 planner. He wanted to move him, his trial, into a federal district court in New York. That's just what we need. Terrorists moved into the United States and into the civilian tribunal, the civilian courts, rather than a military tribunal, which is where they belong.
Nationally syndicated radio talk show host Michael Savage, the new thriller, Abuse of Power. Working with a veteran Green Beret and a seductive Yemeni agent, Jack Hatfield exposes a terrorist group known as the Hand of Allah. They uncover a plot within the highest corridors of power that could dwarf 9/11. Abuse of Power, a lightning-paced thriller that spans the globe from Europe and Israel to the back alleys of San Francisco's Chinatown. Based on a true story of a journalist smeared by a liberal media attack group. Abuse of Power, the new thriller from New York Times best-selling author Michael Savage. Available now at Amazon.com or at a bookstore near you. Abuse of Power. Get it while you still can.
Hey, I'm Michael Savage. Why have I been telling you to call 1-800-LESS-GAS? Why? Because your vehicle can get 22% better mileage. That's why. 22% better mileage. A study by Federal Consumer Protection backs it up. 1-800-LESS-GAS. Government test data describes it as very effective. It exceeds mileage guarantees, and it has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. These are amazing reports. They're real, and that's why I want you to call 1-800-LESS-GAS, especially now. The inventor and his product have received the attention of Motor Trend Magazine, Popular Science, and Popular Mechanics. He's even met with General Motors. Listen, this product has a positive 30-year track record, and it's made in the USA. That's right, made in America, not China. 22% better mileage. Call 1-800-LESS-GAS. That's 1-800-537-7427. 1-800-537-7427. Get up to 22% better mileage. Just call 800-LESS-GAS now.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605 to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Paralyzed rats walk again. I never met a rat I wanted to see walk again, to be honest with you. I'd like to see all the rats I know never walk again. The rats I have dealt with in my life will get punished by God, because I'm actually a good man. Every rat who's ever cheated me has come to an end that was horrendous. I think somebody up there likes me, so I leave it up to God. I don't seek vengeance myself. I've said it to others. Leave vengeance to God.
Savage.
Now, if they want to take doo-doo from their pants and rub it on a canvas, and you want to call that art, that's your business. But don't confuse yourself. It's not art, no matter which way you look at it. But the society that we are living in has been so deadened down that we're taught that anything a child does or says is equal to anything else any other child may have done or said. So if you get an illiterate moron from the gutter who strings 30 words together that don't match and rubs his crotch, they call it music.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and don't forget to check out today's top stories on michaelsavage.com. All right, let's get to today's fictional creations. Apparently, the Democrats may actually be learning, or at least some of their cohorts in the media are learning, that some of these most outrageous campaign ads, which are demonstrably false, just really aren't going to pay off. Now, they got really kicked in the teeth pretty well for that ad we talked about yesterday, the Joe Soptic ad that was put out by an Obama super PAC that talked about how Mitt Romney closed this company, the GST Seal company, and eventually killed this man's wife because she didn't have health insurance. Well, of course, that's not true. It was an outrageous lie, and they got called on it. But maybe they're learning a little bit. You might remember there's a template for what they do when they can't prove anything. They just make stuff up. And we had a few months ago, we were treated to the Obama-Biden cartoon called The Life of Julia. It was a long, long thing, and I've got it up on my screen right now if you don't want to waste your time on it, but you can find it on the Obama-Biden website. And it talks about this lady and starts with age 3 when she's going to Head Start, and it's just because of steps made by Obama that she can get a good school, and it follows all through. Let me just let Mitt Romney describe The Life of Julia. Let's do it.
Have you seen, by the way, the president's vision of the future? To help us see it, his campaign has even created a little fictional character. It's on the website. Living an imaginary life filled with happy milestones for which she will spend the rest of her days thanking President Obama. It's called The Life of Julia, and it's a cartoon. Julia progresses from cradle to grave, showing how government makes every good thing in her life possible. The weak economy, high unemployment, falling wages, rising gas prices, the national debt, the insolvency of entitlements, all these are fictionally assumed away in a cartoon produced by a president who wants us to forget about them.
Well,
by the
you
way,
know, that's
what does it say about a president's policies when he has to use a cartoon character rather than real people to justify his record?
Well, what it says, what it really says, is that the Democrats are now afraid of getting caught in more lies, so they're trying to resort to these cartoons. But now, you know, this was not the only cartoon floating around out there. This inspired, the inspiration of The Life of Julia came to CNN in June, when we had medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen talking about three hypothetical people in really a case, trying to argue the case for upholding Obamacare before the Supreme Court ruled. They had leukemia survivor Bobby, who would lose his coverage because of his pre-existing condition. They had several different, and the best one was, I guess, Medicaid Marlene. Now, under this, in this is back in June, Medicaid Marlene earns $15,000 right now, and I'm reading from the transcript here of the Elizabeth Cohen report on June 27th. Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. All right, we're talking about the latest lunacy from CNN. Now, there's a lot of lunacy coming out of CNN, so we want to parse this out and separate one piece from another. We're talking right now about recidivist reporter and medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen, who has been on a crusade to support Obamacare since at least last June, when she first raised the issue of Medicare Marlene. This is her fictional creation, another cartoon character, just like The Life of Julia, where they can say what they want and make comparisons. Just bring it home to you, to your kitchen table, to say that Medicaid Marlene, because she makes too much money, can't get Medicaid. And if Obamacare is repealed, oh my God, it's the biggest expansion of Medicare ever. So if the law is overturned, she's out of luck. Well, that was back in June. But today, in their never-ending battle to re-elect Barack Obama, guess what? CNN revived Medicaid Marlene. Let's listen to recidivist reporter Ms. Cohen talking about her again today. Marlene 1, please, guys.
We have a woman named Medicaid Marlene. So we just named her that. This is a woman who used to make too much money to be on Medicaid, but under Obamacare, she can now get Medicaid. Well, Ryan and Romney, again, want to repeal Obamacare. So under Ryan's plan, we don't know what will happen to Marlene. Under Obama, she gets Medicaid. Under Representative Ryan's plan, we don't know, because what he wants to do is give block grants to states.
Oh, we don't know whether this fictional lady is going to get Medicare, because Paul Ryan has advocated a plan to turn Medicaid back to solvency. Let's remember, ladies and gentlemen, this plan, this Medicaid plan, it's going bankrupt. Social Security is going to be bankrupt by 2033. That's not my judgment. That's the judgment in the official report of the Social Security and Medicare trustee back in June. Social Security goes bankrupt in 2033. Medicare Part A is already bankrupt, okay? It's been paying out more money than it received since 2008. It goes bankrupt officially in 2024. Now, they're trying to repeal. Obama does not want to repeal his single most large and flashy accomplishment, Obamacare. Ryan and Romney have promised to do so. And you know what? It seems to me that from every poll I've seen since Obamacare passed, the vast majority of Americans want to repeal this thing. They want it repealed because they know it's going to make health care harder to find. It's going to make health care more expensive. It's like one gentleman said 6 months ago, or maybe a year ago, if you think health care is expensive now, wait till you see when it's free. So let's get Obamacare repealed. But no, CNN doesn't want us to do that. This is an important development, ladies and gentlemen, just for one particular aspect. We have to remember and bring it back to our sense, the front of our brain. The front of our brain needs to look at the news, if you watch it at all, and look at it with a very big filter. You have to understand, when a campaign goes out and tries to do a big 2-minute, 3-minute, 4-minute campaign ad, it can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce, and then it'll cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to air. Well, what the network news does, CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, what they do, under the guise of trying to report the news, what they're really doing, and they're doing it more and more and more, is making campaign commercials for the Obama campaign. And this CNN report is a perfect example. We're going to see more of Medicaid Marlene. We'll see more of these other fictional characters that Ms. Cohen has derived for us. Leukemia survivor Bobby, Medicare Marlene, Gwen the graduate, oh, I forgot her, who's under the age of 26 and thus on her parents' insurance. If she gets in trouble and, you know, they throw out the Obamacare law, she might not have health insurance. Well, you know, if CNN were honest, which is a really, really big jump, they wouldn't be doing things like this. They wouldn't be making campaign commercials for Obama. They wouldn't be putting out stories like this. What would they be doing? They might actually report the news. They might actually report the facts. But heaven forbid, that's not going to happen. This campaign, as I said yesterday, is going to be, well, it pretty much is already, the nastiest political campaign we've ever seen in American history. And it's going to get worse. There's only one way. Only one way to deal with this. And Romney and Ryan are going to have to do it. And we in the media, we in the conservative media, are going to have to do it too, is to shine a spotlight on this stuff. Now, we're going to be talking to Governor John Sununu later about his little run-in with Soledad O'Brien on CNN, where she was just reading from the White House script and disagreeing with him on the basis of nothing but that. No facts, no arguments, just the White House script. This is what these guys are facing. But every time this happens, every time this happens, it needs to be exposed. It needs to be brought up on shows like this. It needs to be written about. You can always go to my good friend Brent Bozell's website, Media Research Center, and newsbusters.org, and they'll have this stuff up right away. They'll keep track of it, and they'll shine the spotlight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not just media bias. We've been talking about that since Walter Cronkite decided that the Vietnam War was a bad idea and went against it. Not just media bias anymore. This is political activism. We have to understand these people are not in the news business. What they're doing is essentially campaigning. They are just like hired consultants. The consultants that campaigns hire to create the commercials, to get the messages out, to book interviews. They don't need to do that. The Obama people don't need to do that because CNN and the rest of these clowns are doing it for them. So what can we do as citizens? Well, we've got to understand what's going on. Number one, we've got to do things like follow what the plan is on the campaign, and you're seeing that the more disgusting they get every day, they're just going to be hammering and hammering personalities, making outrageous statements. And when you see this on the news, I think what we really ought to do is just note it to ourselves and talk about it to other people, to talk about these things and to just cite chapter and verse. You know, the people, everyone in the media is very defensive about this, and even good, honest reporters. And yeah, there are a few out there. They just say, oh, I don't want to argue with the media. I don't want to take these guys on. Well, we have to. We have to. And if you know a reporter, or, you know, if you just have your local newspaper there, write a letter to them and say, did you see this? This is outrageous. Did you see Soledad O'Brien just reading from the talking points memo as she did a few days ago? Did you see Soledad O'Brien going after Governor Sununu, reading from the White House script? You know, these are the kinds of things we need to expose. And let me ask you this. What do you think you can do to help expose all of these things? I mean, I frankly think that the Newsbusters guys do a pretty good job, but they need help. Everybody needs to be in this game to hold a real shining light on these activists in the media. You know, if you look back, just every single election we've seen, in my memory, we've seen this sort of thing happen. And I remember just a couple of years ago, there was a reporter, it was a City Room editor, I think, in the Washington Post, and she was reflecting out loud, and she got quoted, and it was a big, big flap over this. She was saying, well, you know, it's really interesting to watch the Washington Post newsroom on an election night and how people were sitting there and cheering for the Democrats' results. And, you know, she was saying the same thing comes every single election because to work in that newsroom, you have to be a Democrat. You have to be a liberal. So what do we expect from these things? We can't expect anything better from these people. We really can't. We can't expect them to change their ways. We've already pretty much dealt with the idiots at MSNBC by simply not watching them. MSNBC has a lower viewership right now than I think a lot of local TV stations around the country do. And good. That's the thing. You just don't pay attention to them. I don't even know any Republicans anymore who go on there. Now, I think that the Mitt Romney campaign gave them an interview, and I guess they had to. They want to make nice with everybody. But at this point, You know, right after this stuff, after CNN goes after you, after these guys, just don't even appear on those shows. Don't even appear with them. When you have Chris Matthews out yesterday talking about the ad, one of the Super PAC ads out there now that shows Paul Ryan pushing Grandma off a cliff and then she screams as she falls. And Chris Matthews says, oh, I love that. I love that. That's the best campaign ad of the year. These are the people who have gone so far to the dark side. Again, they are not just biased. Media bias is a thing of the past. Media political activism is what we're up to right now and what they're up to right now and what we have to hold them to account for. All right, let's get back to your calls. We're at 800-449-8255. How about line 9, Rich in New York? Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, Jeff. How are you? This is Rich from New Jersey. And what you're saying is absolutely correct. I'm a little scared, though. I'm a senior citizen.
I've received the attention of Motor Trend Magazine, Popular Science, and Popular Mechanics. He's even met with General Motors. Listen, this product has a positive 30-year track record, and it's made in the USA. That's right, made in America, not China. 22% better mileage. Call 1-800-LESS-GAS. That's 1-800-537-7427. 1-800-537-7427. Get up to 22% better mileage. Just call 800-LESS-GAS now.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605 to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
I think I have my brains quite fine. I mean, being that I
don't think you have anything but scrambled eggs between your ears.
I've had rocks thrown into my house, and I've had children circle around me.
Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Stop giving me the crap about how evil America is. I'm sick of hearing how evil America is. You all have it pretty good here. That's why everyone's trying to get in. No one's trying to get out. Take a walk and try it on somebody else.
Disgrace to America, Mike Beck.
I asked you a question, you lying pig. I asked you a question. You're not going to twist the facts for your own racist needs on my show and get away with it, because I am not going to bend to you just because you get away with it everywhere you go, playing that race card on white people. Yeah, you the racist. Where'd you learn that one? Who taught you that trick? Throw the trick away and try to use some logic. Maybe you'll get somewhere.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Let's go right back to your calls. How about line 5, Eddie in Texas? Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey. Say, look, I just want to say a couple of things. One, you worry too much about CNN, MSNBC. Nobody listens to those stations anyway, and if they do, they're not going to vote for Romney anyway. The other thing I want to say is Fox doesn't give you anything either, and neither do a lot of you mainline talk show hosts, because you have all these shootings. Nobody even wants to push the possibility that the government's behind these shootings, that they're manipulating.
Oh, come on, Eddie. Let's just not go there. Look, people do listen to CNN. Not as many people as listen to an awful lot of other news sources. But let's not, the point of the matter is, let's not go crazy here, Eddie. Let's not get to the point where we're saying, oh, the government's behind these shootings. You know, there's a lot of people out there, ladies and gentlemen. Well, actually, there's not a lot of people. There's a few people out there who are apparently as wacky as our friend Eddie from Texas. We're just going to cut off here. The point of the matter is the government's not responsible for the shootings. We're not going to have some revelation that the 9/11 events were caused by the U.S. government. It's craziness. That's wacko land. Let's just stick to the facts. Let's look at what's going on in politics in this country right now, and it's not a good thing. What's going on in politics right now, it's just like Mitt Romney said. It's smear, it's dirt, it's distortion, it's deception, it's dishonesty. What we have to do, we as the American voters have to work really hard. We have to work harder this year than we usually have to do, because the point is now we have to work harder to get more information. We know an awful lot about what's going on in our government right now, what's gone on for our government for, well, quite a few years now. If you've been watching, if you're listening to the talk radio, you've been reading the newspapers, you know what's gone on. You know what went on in the Bush administration. You know what's gone on in the past 3.5 years in the Obama administration. You know what's going on, and you need to learn more, because what now you're seeing is the spin and the distortions from the Obama camp. You have CNN going out there and making stuff up. When they get caught, like they did with that septic ad with accusing Mitt Romney of causing that woman's death, if you look at the craziness that comes out in some of the other sides, I mean, you've probably saw it. I think I mentioned yesterday, MSNBC or somebody, Huffington Post, whoever it was, had a story about how Mitt Romney founded Bain Capital with money invested by El Salvadoran investors who were behind kill squads in their country. I mean, it's nuts. It's craziness. So what we have to do is we have to go out and search for information. You go out there and you look at legitimate news sources. You listen to what the candidates have to say. That's the best way to do it, really. If you want to know what's going on, don't listen to the news people reporting it. Listen to the quotes. That's why we use a lot of audio on this show. You can listen to the people in their own words, and you're going to get a better scoop of what they believe by just listening to them and holding them to their account. If you believe what they're saying, and maybe you don't want to, if you want to believe what somebody else is saying, I think that's your hard luck. What we have to do is we have to listen to these people, parse it out, and then apply what we know about them. When Barack Obama says yesterday that, well, we're going to help the farmers by buying up all the beef and milk and chicken that we can't sell right now, well, you know what? That happened. You know, that happened yesterday. And already the price of those things has gone up because Obama's going out there and saying, I'm going to buy this stuff up. What does he mean? I'm going to buy votes. I'm going to buy votes in farm country by buying up these products. This is the kind of rationale that you get from people like Barack Obama. This is what we have going on in this country right now. He's going around different parts of the country. Everywhere he goes, he's going to try to buy votes by promising something that the government's going to spend money on. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to help college students. Oh, yeah, we're going to help college students by spending money to reduce their loans or spending money to reduce the interest rate on their loans. There is no constituency that this man will not try to buy. He will not try to buy us, the conservatives, because he knows we're not buying what he's selling. We can't be bribed, and we don't want to be bribed. The people who are older in this country have nothing to fear, okay? They're already taken care of. The people who are on welfare and really can't make a living, they have nothing to worry about. They're already taken care of. People who don't have health insurance, the fact of the matter is the law requires when you go to a hospital in an emergency, you're going to get treatment whether or not you have insurance. So all of this stuff and nonsense that comes out of Obama, it's just buying votes. And we, as the voter, we have to understand what's going on. We have to read enough news. We have to listen to the candidates themselves and apply what we know about them. Yeah, Mitt Romney, I think he's a pretty believable guy. You know, we have to hold him to account if he gets elected, and we bloody well will. That's what we get American politics. That's what we do best, okay? We didn't do a very good job of it. We really didn't do a very good job of it during the Bush years. And President Bush spent too much and grew the economy too much. And when we tried to stop Obama, what we were up against? We were up against Pelosi and Harry Reid and the Democrat Congress. And when the Republicans finally took control of Congress in 2010, all this came to a crashing halt. Be informed. Listen to the candidates themselves and think about what they're saying. All right, next hour, coming back with Governor John Sununu, we'll be talking about CNN and a whole lot more. Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language,
adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We're at 800-449-8255, and there's a lot of SGO stuff going on. All right, just in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by former New Hampshire Governor John Sununu, who's going to be talking about, well, a lot of things about the Romney-Ryan campaign and his little encounter with Soledad O'Brien on CNN. And that is really something. Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to get to a couple of your calls. Let's go. Where are we? How about line one? Bob in New York. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, hey, thanks. I just occurred to me yesterday, I was just trying to catch up on what's going on with Paul Ryan, so I turned on the TV and I saw about a six-minute piece. It was about his high school, what town he went to, the girl he married, and he was the head of the club and everything else. And it occurred to me, did Obama go to high school? If so, I never saw a piece like that. I knew in 10 minutes more about Paul Ryan than I know about the President of the United States now.
Well, so you know, there's... Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
My question is, you know, where were these pieces? Are they going to do a piece? Did he go to high school? Are the high school teachers he can speak to? Did he go to college? Are the high school, are the college professors we can speak to?
Oh, well, we should be able to, shouldn't we, Bob? You know, but that's one of the big mysteries about Barack Obama. Yeah, we do now, and you make a very good point. We know a lot more about Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan than we know about Barack Obama after almost 4 years of his being president of the United States. We've never seen his college transcripts. We don't know what he did in college. We don't know who his friends were. We don't know who taught him. We don't know how he prospered or didn't. Was he a good student? He went to some pretty fancy schools. He went to Harvard. He was a part-time, I guess he was a professor there for a little while, or an adjunct professor. Let's find out more about it. Oh, no. Oh, no, you're not going to find out more about Barack Obama, because all those records are sealed. All those records are sealed. And this is one of the things that the media just doesn't want to go into. Why don't they have lawsuits to get those records? Because Barack Obama won't let them go. Why don't they ask the president, why won't you release your college transcripts? All of these things, you know, this is not for crazy people, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. We have a right to know what this man's background is. We elected him president. Well, we didn't, but a lot of people did. This guy is president of the United States. We know a lot less about him than we know about... Oh, I don't know, Soledad O'Brien. Hey, great call, Bob. Thanks for it. All right, let's see if we can get one or two more in before we get to the business of John Sununu. How about line six, James in Florida? Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
This is Jerry.
Jerry, I'm sorry. It says James on my screen.
That's all right. Listen, in my opinion, this script-reading news media started when the FCC, under Colin Powell's son, opened the door to foreign ownership, and the script readers came alive.
Well, you know, Jim, this really did not happen then. I mean, it's been going on for so long. I mean, I'm getting to be an old guy, and I can remember this stuff going on way, way, way back in my youth, back in my college days. You know, when Walter Cronkite was out there telling us how Vietnam was a drastic mistake and we were wasting lives there. I mean, this is not new. And we can't blame, I mean, there's a lot of things we can blame the Powell family for, but this ain't one of them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's shift our focus just a little bit because we're going to be breaking in just a minute, and we'll be talking to Governor Sununu right after the break. Sununu was on CNN just yesterday and talking about, well, what was going on in the Romney campaign. This is the way he got treated by Soledad O'Brien, the star, one of the stars of CNN. Sununu, too, please.
Romney says no impact to anybody 55 or over. It is clear in here that the reduction in services start on January 1st, 2013. And Obama stole that money to put it into programs.
The hospitals agreed to that.
Obamacare.
The drug providers agreed to that because their theory is that what they're going to be able to do is make up by the number of people who come into the system. It doesn't reduce or cut the benefits, right? The older people who
it
receive
does.
Medicare do
they're
not.
Assuming, Soledad, stop this.
You know, you can't argue with people who just won't admit the facts. But it gets a little bit heated right after that. Sununu 3, please.
All you're doing is mimicking the stuff that comes out of the White House and gets repeated on the Democratic blog boards out there. If you're going to mouth,
I'm telling you what factcheck.com tells you. I'm telling you what the CBO tells you. I'm telling you what CNN's independent analysis
does. I've got the CBO report right here.
And I'm telling you what it says.
Put an Obama bumper sticker on your forehead when you do this.
You know, that's the kind of thing I'd like to see a lot more of. I think we need to have candidates and the candidates' friends and surrogates standing up to these media people. Do you remember the highlight of the primary season? The highlight for me was when Newt Gingrich stood up and blasted CNN's John King at the beginning of one of those debates. That was the highlight, because you don't take this stuff anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Candidates can't take it. They can't just sit back and let these media people maneuver and manipulate and lie. This is the kind of thing we need more of. And we're going to be talking to Governor John Sununu about that in just a minute. Let's take an early break. We're going to come right back. And with us will be Governor John Sununu talking about CNN and a whole lot of other things. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Every single summer for a decade, I've told you to convert paper assets into real assets, like gold, because this is the time when prices tend to bottom. Every year, I'm proven right. With all the economic risks now out there, this year may be your very last chance to buy gold and silver at these levels. You and your family cannot afford to sit on the sidelines any longer. Do it now. Don't procrastinate. We are not only facing the worst economic crisis in a half century, now the worst drought as well, which could push food prices and inflation up to mind-boggling heights. This is real. Protect yourself. Call Swiss America this very minute. Tell him Savage said to invest 30 minutes to hear my Future of Money CD at 800-288.
But the most important pair of people that are going to lead that charge are Governor Romney and Congressman Ryan.
Well, I'm taking heart from what you're saying, and I hope that there are more occasions where you can stand up to some of these knuckleheads in the press. But let me go right to, well, maybe one of the chief knuckleheads on the other side. Our vice president said something today that I'd just like you to respond to. Let's play the audio, guys. Let's play Biden chains.
They've said it. Every Republican's voted for it. Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Okay, Governor Sununu, he's talking to an audience which I understand was about half African Americans. I mean, can you give us a short response or a long response, whatever you want? I mean, this is one of the more outrageous things. You know, I just wonder if Joe Biden is getting coached by Howard Dean.
No, I think Joe Biden is just demonstrating why people were shocked when he was chosen to be the vice president for Obama. Look, there's something worse than just the words that he used, and it's something I suggest to people pay attention to. Whenever Joe Biden or the president go into their fake drawl, and you know they're going to do something that is akin to class warfare, one way or the other, it is invariable. Just pay attention to that. Now, you know, I'm amazed when the president himself does it. What'd he do? Grow up in South Hawaii? or perhaps South Bronx when he went to Columbia, or South Chicago, or South Indonesia. There's no legitimate reason for the president to have a drawl, but when he's going to do class warfare, he moves into that mode. And so the message I'm giving, this is not accidental. This was not an accidental word that popped into what Joe Biden was going to say. It all came out as a package. And so this is class warfare, playing the race card, whatever way you want to say it. They're accused. That statement he made was a process of accusing Republicans of being insensitive to the Black American community, and it's wrong. But it's part of the game they play, and there's no question in my mind that you're going to hear more and more of it. But just pay attention to when it happens. You will always hear the voice morph into the drawl.
let me go back to our friends at CNN for a minute. And, you know, the basic point here we were making earlier, not only with the Soledad O'Brien thing, and I know you've got better things to do than watch CNN, but I was watching today, and apparently they've taken a key premise from the Obama campaign, you know, the whole business of, you know, Julia, the life of Julia, and now they've got Medicaid Marlene, and they're out talking about how Obamacare, through Medicare and all the rest of that, is going to take better care of America than the Romney-Ryan plan ever would. Why do these guys have to resort to cartoons to make their points? I mean, have they gotten caught often enough, like with the Joe Soptic ad? Are they resorting to these things to at least try to cover their tracks and not get caught in a lie?
Listen, this is a crowd that thinks cartoons are intellectual.
Well, I
have not seen Medicaid Marlene yet. I'll have to go look for it. Look, this is. Let's understand what's happened to America. They are trying to convince America by the pandering on to each constituency, by trying to sound as if they are much more in tune with the needs of this country. And trying to sound as if they are intellectually superior when, frankly, they have no idea what they're talking about, that somehow their move towards big government is progress for America because it is being moved by people that are smarter than those dumb Republicans. Well, I got news for them. What they are underestimating is the intelligence of the American voting public. And what I am thrilled about with Ryan coming on and joining Mitt Romney on the team is now you have two guys that understand what America's all about, that understand that you have to take hard, strong positions, that it takes a little bit of courage to do something. Let me just talk about the courage thing. We have a president who will complete his entire presidency, because it's only going to be one term, who will complete his entire presidency without ever having tried to seriously to pass a budget, even though by law he is required to have a budget. He has gone 4 years without a budget. Now, yep. You know why? It's because to pass a budget, you have to take a position on issues. And the man is unwilling and unable to take a position. This is the same gentleman that in the Illinois Senate abstained 150 times. Unconscionable. How many issues can there be that you're afraid to take a stand on?
Well, apparently an unlimited number. We're talking to former New Hampshire Governor John Sununu of the Romney-Ryan campaign, and we're learning a lot right here and right now. Governor, you've got 2 more weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, the convention kicks off in Tampa. You've got the big guy. You've got Chris Christie keynoting it. You've got Marco Rubio going to introduce Mr. Romney. What else are we going to see, and what else are you going to be doing to gain some momentum between now and then?
Well, you're going to see hard campaigning. The Governor Romney now has a partner in the process. It's now 2-on-2. It used to be 2-on-1 in terms of the news stories every night. Now they've got to cover the 4 of them instead of just the 3 of them. And Congressman Ryan's great asset is that he's a very direct talker. And so we are going to be hearing, I'm sure, over the next 2 weeks, news clips of someone making very clear what I call short, sharp, and clear declarative sentences on policy. And that's what the American public wants to hear. They want to hear how we're going to fix 8.3% unemployment, how we're going to fix embarrassingly low growth rates, how we're going to fix the fact that there are fewer people working today than when Obama took office, that gas is more than twice as expensive as when he took office, that food has gone up about 40% in some of the food major food categories, that Americans have lost $4,300 on average of family wealth over the 4 years. And this president has no sense at all that he had an obligation to fix things. He's not even ashamed of having the worst recovery in 75 years. And that, to me, is telling. You would like to see a little embarrassment at having failed. But he is so arrogant that he thinks that he deserves another term even if he failed.
Well, at this point, I have to sit back and just respectfully disagree with you a little bit, because I think the man is such a narcissist that he can't even admit that he has failed. I mean, he doesn't see it as a failure. You know, I'm looking at, and as you point out correctly,
I'll accept your variation.
Well, thank you.
I'm not. I don't think we're really different. We're just saying about the same thing in a slight.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Savage, 800-449-8255. And don't forget to check out michaelsavage.com for the top stories of the day. All right, let's go right back to your calls. Let's go to line six, James in Florida. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I feel like I've got no choice but to vote for Obama now. I'm hoping you can maybe set me straight. So,
No choice. There's always a choice, right up to the point where you pull that lever in the voting booth.
Well, let me give you the context, right? I'm probably one of your younger listeners. I'm 26. I'm an engineer. I have a good job, and I really work very hard.
Good man. Now,
I voted for Ron Paul in the primary because I thought that really he had a lot to offer to younger voters, you know, the ability to opt out of Social Security, small government, et cetera. And I feel like at this point, Romney doesn't really offer us anything. And the pragmatic person inside me says, why not do wealth redistribution? I mean, it's obviously Obama's plan. It's really not going to hurt me for the next 8 to 15 years, right, while I'm still under 200 grand. So why not deal with a liberal shift in legislation in the short term and then really move towards a successful conservative agenda when it's actually going to help me?
Well, a couple of things, and I hear a little bit of a humor in your voice, but I'm assuming that you're very serious here. And let me just tell you, there's a couple of things that I think you're mistaking. Number one, I don't believe that Barack Obama's wealth redistribution will exempt you. You know, you're a hardworking guy, you're an engineer, you're obviously a smart guy. So look at it analytically. When you're talking about wealth distribution, you're talking about shifting wealth not just from rich people. Rich people is being defined down every step of the way. And the tax increases that are going to go in, the Obamacare taxes are going to kick in next year. You're going to be paying them. There are going to be corporate taxes that are going to drive your salary down. The corporations are not going to pay them. They're going to have to pass them on both to the employees and to the other people who are, you know, their customers. You're going to end up with a situation where Obamacare and some of the other things that are going on, I mean, you end up with more taxes, more costs being passed to you. So just from a purely selfish standpoint, I think if you look at what Romney and company are saying, you know, again, I'm not saying Romney and company are perfect. You know, if we had, God bless if we had Ronald Reagan back, but we don't. What we've got is Romney and Ryan. And what they're going to be doing is, number one, stop the bleeding. They'll stop the bleeding in this economy. And when homes are easier to buy and homes are easier to keep, you're going to be able to benefit. Do you own your own home yet?
So first off, banks are dying to loan me money. It hasn't been this easy to buy a house in any time that I could remember, and I'm right on the cusp of making that purchase.
That's good.
They've offered to extend the tax cuts for people that are under 200 grand when they're single, and that's me for at least a few more years. So from a tax perspective, I feel like I'm covered. Furthermore, when I look at my 401k, I feel like, the problems are due to the inability to make any kind of decisions, and I think our portfolios would all do a lot better if there was some sort of successful legislation happening, whether it be liberal or conservative.
Right, wait a minute. Let me stop you there. Why do you believe that some sort of legislation is going to make your stock portfolio grow? I mean, what kind of legislation are you thinking about?
Also, I mean, whether it's health care, whether it's increasing the corporate tax rate, right? Even if they increase the corporate tax rate, then corporations know it, and they can respond, and they can cut headcount, right? And they can function. It's the fact that nothing gets done and it's just waffling, really, that hurts us the most from an investment perspective.
Really? I don't agree with that at all, James, and I think that most investors and most experts in the stock market would agree with me. Now, I for a while worked in the aerospace industry, and I learned very, very clearly there that what companies are looking for is stability. Right now, they don't know what's going on, and it's not just because the Republicans are trying to stop things in Congress. It's because Obama will not compromise. So come next year, you're going to have the Bush-era tax credits or tax rates get hiked. The corporate tax rate is already the highest in the world. So raising it even more would just kill more American jobs. You've got the situation, I don't know what kind of engineering you do, but if you're related to the defense industries in any way or the space industry, the sequestration that's going to come in from the Budget Control Act last year is going to devastate your industry. So all of these things that you're talking about, yeah, I understand that you think that there may be some way the government can help you, and if you're making less than $200,000, you're not going to get hit. But you are going to get hit, pal. You are definitely going to get hit. And, you know, you say, and you're correct, that banks are looking to lend you money. But the reason why you're not able to get that down payment together for the house yet is you haven't been able to earn enough money yet. Your money, the income that you're going to be able to get as a highly skilled engineer, you're in demand. You know, you're one of the higher paid lines of work in this whole country. And think of what happens when growth actually returns to our economy. You can't get growth under Obama. You have now lack of growth in this economy for 4 years, pretty much. I mean, it started under Bush. But until you get growth back, you cannot have the economy prosper, and your salary is going to go up much more slowly. And when you have prosperity come back, you're not going to be able to do that. Well, the government is run by liberals, and they're spending so much money that corporations can't get, well, that the government can't plan, the government can't afford to do what it's doing, that the credit market will get tight again. All of these things, I mean, you know these things, James, and you know they're true. You know, this is the kind of thing that you need to be looking at. Talk to your stock investor. Talk to the guy who's in charge of your corporation investing your 401k. Ask him what's going to make this economy grow. Ask him what the companies are really looking for. They're looking for stability. Right now they can't get it because Obama is insisting on raising taxes. And that's where the problem lies.
But that's beyond the discussion, right? But what I would say, though, is I think things are a bit cyclical, right? And we've swallowed a lot of conservative legislation with the Bush years, and before that we swallowed a lot of Democratic legislation with Clinton. And I think that it's something we've got to give. We've got to be able to show a functioning legislature in one way or another, right? We may not agree with it, but we still need to show that we're functioning. And that's where that certainty comes from, because the public is not going to keep swallowing a conservative agenda, right, after just 4 years of a Democratic shift. It's too soon.
Well, I don't know about that because simply, well, now wait a minute. One of the things, I think you're confusing a lot of things here. Number one, I would argue, and I think the facts support it, that we did not have a lot of conservative legislation in the Bush years. We had a lot of liberal legislation in the Clinton years, benefiting economically from what Ronald Reagan had started. But through that and then through the big spending Bush years, Bush was not a conservative. George Bush, in fact, ruined the Republican brand. So you had things like the prescription drug plan. You had government growth in so many ways. The government got a momentum under George W. Bush that Obama just accelerated. And the fact that the government is now eating up so much of the entire economy and regulating even more of it, I mean, don't you think that we'd be better off without Dodd-Franks? Don't you think we'd be better off if some of the burdens of regulation on companies like the one you work for were relieved? I mean, that's what you're talking about, a liberal legislation and liberal actions by the government. It means strangling business. It means, and like I said in the opening segment, when you're talking about sequestration coming in, which is at Obama's insistence, and he's threatened a veto of any legislation to correct it, you're talking about maybe a million jobs being lost in the defense industries. I mean, that's liberal legislation. We haven't seen conservative legislation for almost 30 years.
The problem I come back to, though, is while I may not agree with the incumbent president's agenda, I can at least understand what he intends to do from a wealth redistribution perspective. I don't clearly see what Romney and Ryan offer somebody in my age bracket.
All right. Well, then you've got an open mind, though, I hope, right? I mean, you haven't made up your mind yet. You're one of those 8%.
I voted for Ron Paul.
Okay. Well, that's throwing your vote away. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's throwing your vote away. You got a choice. You can either vote for Romney or Obama. Those are your choices. What are you going to base your choice on?
Well, I'm going to base my choice on what I believe in.
But what do you want to hear? I mean, what are the things that you think are most important? What is the one thing that could push you to vote for one candidate or another?
Civil liberties.
Civil liberties. They ain't going to change either way, pal. Civil liberties is the same. Our Constitution guarantees it. So, next issue. What's your next issue?
Next issue would be a definitive plan from an economic perspective.
Okay, fair enough. And you don't have that from Obama. You have not had that. I mean, it's like John Sununu said, we've gone 1,200 days without a federal budget.
I mean, Obama's plan is I'm going to prop up the lower class, right, by burning money, right, even though there's no return on investment, right?
But that's not going to wash over to you, pal. You're middle class. You're not going to benefit from that, right?
Tell me in four sentences what Romney's going to do.
Well, Romney is going to stop the bleeding. He's going to control federal expenditures and reduce the amount the government takes out of the public economy. That's number one.
Made in America, not China. 22% better mileage. Call 1-800-LESS-GAS. That's 1-800-537-7427. 1-800-537-7427. Get up to 22% better mileage. Just call 800-LESS-GAS now.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605 to protect freedom of speech. God bless America. The zen of republicanism. Pandering to every group except the conservatives will put him in power. Manipulate the Christian conservative. Get them fired up on abortion. Use them as your base. And then when you get in power, give them a nice big stiff middle finger. So what the hell are we the people supposed to do? Sit here and scream, God bless America, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat? You want to be a moron and go fight that war? Go fight that war.
Savage.
They're all Machiavellian. You know, you go behind the surface of most of the liberals in San Francisco, you know what? You find a conservative. They say, yeah, no, I really believe in I can't say it. What do you mean you can't say it? Why not? What, are you afraid of the crazies? You afraid of the anarchists? You afraid of the perverts? Why? What are you afraid of them so much? The normal people outnumber them. We can throw pies, too. We now also have to go out in the streets and scream it if you want us to. Don't be so afraid of the green-haired nipple ring crowd.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. You know, it's really interesting that young man, the engineer, was talking about so many things that were in his mind, but, you know, it just really galls me sometimes that people can think about playing these games and, you know, this guy voted for Ron Paul and now he's not sure who he's going to vote for. I mean, come on. Let's get serious here, people. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is talking about the idea of whether this country is going to survive economically and probably from a national security standpoint, too. We have a very stark choice. It's Barack Obama, which does not mean prosperity, does not mean security. And we have Mitt Romney, who at least will give us a chance at that. All right, let's get back to your calls. How about line 4, Karen in New Hampshire? Thanks for calling in, ma'am. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I really appreciate your handling. It's really great, and I'm 69, too. And I say motto, senior soldier on, because a few people that know, like ourselves, it's really up to us. It's up to us to convince others, you know, about
yes.
the truth of what's happening to our country. And it's up to us to help, you know, our children to be able to live in this country freely without, you know, being persecuted in every direction economically, et cetera, even their faith.
But you have a particularly good point of view, ma'am, and, you know, being a seasoned citizen, you know, you have the opportunity to go out there and help spread the message that what Obama and Biden are saying about Romney and Ryan is a lie. I mean, people your age are not going to be affected by what they want to do to Social Security and Medicare. I mean, you're just simply not. I mean, are you talking to people about that?
Yes, yes, I really am, and I'm very enthused about Paul Ryan. I think he's exceptionally talented and dedicated to real family values, and he has the expertise and the determination to succeed and to, you know, really to be a winning team for all of us.
Well, you've only got about 83 days between now and the election, ma'am. I hope you're going to work hard, because that's what we all have to do. We all have to do. We have to go out and find those undecided voters, and we have to just sit down with them. And I don't have enough time on radio to sit down for as many hours it will take as to convince that young engineer that he needs to look to the reality of this world, look to the reality of what Obama has done to this country, and realize that it's his money that's being spent. The money that Obama is spending now is going to hit him right between the eyes with taxes, because no matter who is president in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, we're still going to be dealing with the deficit that Obama has racked up. And unless we have somebody in there now who can start by stopping the bleeding and trying to fix our economy at least a little bit, those young people, like that young engineer, going to be the one who's going to suffer most. And there's not going to be Social Security. There's not going to be Medicare. There's not going to be a safety net. So if he can't manage to save enough while he works, he's not going to have a darn thing. He'll be dying in the cold and the dark. All right. Hey, great call. Thank you for it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we can probably get in one more before the break. Let's go to line three. Carl in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Hello,
yes,
Carl. Are you there?
Thank you very much. I'm glad that you were able to take my call. And thank you very much. I've never heard you before. I appreciate you have a clarity. I would like to please be able to say something out loud. Why do people constantly say that this president is a failed president? He's extremely successful. He has accomplished so many things that he's wanted to. Destruction of our economy.
Oh, yeah.
Destruction of our banking system.
I totally agree with you. This man, I am tired of hearing people say that Barack Obama is naive and that he's not successful. You are entirely right. He's done exactly what he wants to do, and he's going to continue to do it unless we can boot him out of there in November. And that's the point. This man knows exactly what he's doing. He's not naive. He is running down America. We're not going to be a superpower if this guy gets reelected. We're going to have a weakened military. Our economy is going down the tubes, and we're not going to be able to recover. He has killed the American economy to the point where we have lost years of growth. We used to have an economy that grew between 3 and 5% every single year. Now growth is down, what, 1%? Half a percent. You know, we're basically stalled. And this guy has done it gladly. And the problem we've got, and I talked about this a little bit last night, the real issue with Barack Obama and the challenge for Mitt Romney, if Mitt Romney gets elected, is that Barack Obama has dug in so deep. Even if he's out of there, a lot of his people are in civil service, senior executive service, you know, a lot of these different, they call it Schedule C's, political appointees, they've all got to be run out. It's going to be very hard jobs to route them out. And also, it's going to be a very hard job to take down some of the spending plans. You know, this whole big flap about the farm bill, yeah, the House passed a farm bill. They could have it passed in the Senate today if they wanted to, but they don't, because they want to put in another long-term spending plan. These laws that have been enacted under Obama will require spending for years and years and years. And that's why the next Congress and the next president have got to dig in. And the first job they've got, probably the most important job they've got, is to roll Obama back, to repeal his legislation, to take back his executive orders and legislation, because those things will last for a long time and they will continue to cost and tax and tax. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage coming back next hour. Congressman Pete Hoekstra running for the U.S. Senate in Michigan. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
He's going to extremes on women's issues, immigration, and civil rights. We're exposing the entire Ryan record.
It's smear, it's dirt, it's distortion, it's deception, it's dishonesty.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. Well, that's first Al Sharpton doing precisely what the second clip you heard Mitt Romney was saying. The Democrats have gone off the deep end. They've gone completely Howard Dean crazy. You know, you've got all their minions in the news business going out there and saying just the most horrible things. But you've got the Vice President of the United States saying today at a campaign stop that the Republicans are going to send you all back in chains. You know, aimed at a half-black audience. It's just like these people. Maybe they're running out of money. Maybe the Obama campaign is in tougher financial shape than we're hearing, and they figure the only way they can get press is to get crazy. I don't know. I'm hoping we are going to see a lot of what our guest in the last hour talked about, former governor of New Hampshire, John Sununu, now very closely connected to the Romney campaign, speaking on behalf of Romney all over the country. You know, he was saying we're going to see a lot of tough campaigning. And he used that term about three or four times, and I hope that's right. Now, Sununu himself was brave enough and smart enough to take on Soledad O'Brien on CNN, and that's what we need. We need to have the Republican candidates and their surrogates go out there and not stand for the garbage that's thrown at them by the media, not stand for the garbage that's thrown out by people like Al Sharpton. They need to stand up, speak loudly and clearly, and let America hear them. All right, let's get back to your calls. 800. Oh, before I get to the calls, in just a few minutes, we're going to be going to my old friend, Congressman Pete Hoekstra of Michigan, who's running for the United States Senate up there. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes, so stick with us. All right, let's go back to the phones. Line 2, Daniel in New York. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing? I think Mr. Ryan, Ryan's appointment to vice president is probably the best news since Ronald Reagan. I'm a limo driver, and I hear it from customers, and there is an excitement, something that's refreshing and clean and something to feel good about. There's no negativity here. And some of my customers say, you know, it's good to know that there's someone out there that's not throwing any dirt and really cares. And let me tell you, I'm inspired by what's happening. It's one of the best things to happen this year.
Really? You know, you're the most positive person I have talked to in I don't know how many months. It's great to hear somebody who has that kind of a view. And I think you're right. I think Paul Ryan is not only a bright young guy, but there is no negativity in him. I don't think there's a negative bone in his body. His mind is so crammed with numbers and the facts and economics that, you know, he's someone I think is pretty trustworthy. He's a good family man. You know, he's a good observing Catholic. He's not going to be someone who's going to go crazy when Romney and he get into the White House. You know, the job of the vice president, you know, people joke about it all the time. But you have different kinds of people in that job. And, you know, some of them get sent to funerals and don't get trusted to do anything. Well, like kind of Joe Biden here. But some of them, like Dick Cheney, was a very strong vice president. You know, Dan Quayle, you know, for all of the garbage that was thrown at him, was a very smart guy and was a very good vice president and a very, very helpful person behind George H.W. Bush. So, yeah, I mean, I think Paul Ryan's in a good shape. And like I said yesterday, I think Paul Ryan is part of the future of the Republican Party. If you look at this guy and you see 4 years, 8 years down the line, you know, I could see that, you know, after two terms of Mitt Romney, you know, there could be a President Ryan, and that would be just fine by me. Hey, good call. Thanks for it. Keep up your sunny attitude. We need more of it. All right, let's go to line 4, Jason in Tennessee. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey there. Well, I was calling, and, you know, I thoroughly agree with what you were saying earlier about the bias in the media, especially with CNN, and how we're starting to see more of a, you know, leftist twist to it. You know, I wanted to get your opinion on you know, if you think the bias in media that we're seeing now, and I guess the marginalization as far as going extreme right, extreme left, that's kind of causing either more of the violence we're seeing, for example, these sporadic, I guess, gunmen, you know, attacking the innocent people in different areas. And if you think that marginalization of the media is kind of causing the problems in Congress and, you know, not being able to reach across the aisle, you know, as well, it had in the past.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, you know, at least one good point. I think the media has helped polarize Congress to the point where people really can't talk to each other anymore. Because, and you know, I've done it. I've been a reporter up there when I was editor of Human Events. I mean, we'd go up there all the time. And, you know, a congressman or a senator pretty much is going to encounter the media any time they step out of a room or, you know, walk down the hall. So the problem you have is the pressure on them, and, you know, they do drive people away from each other. And there is a problem with that. But on the other hand, you know, the issue of violence, I don't think the media causes violence. I mean, I do think that listening to MSNBC can make someone go crazy. Don't get me wrong. I think if you have enough exposure to Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews, your brain will melt and you might do something crazy. But I don't think that they can be blamed for violence in this country. And at the risk of being serious, the media has lost the trust of the American people. America knows there's something bad wrong with the media, and they're not going to put up with it much longer. They're in the position now, Americans are not listening to a lot of the media. However, in a political campaign, there's got to be a lot of news flow. People want to find out. So the media comes back a little bit when a presidential campaign's going on. The real trick now, the real trick is for people like John Sununu and Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and a lot of the other good guys on our side to make sure that the media get held to account. Hey, really good call. Thanks for it. Hey, we got to take a break a little bit early because we're going to go and come right back with my good friend, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, candidate for the U.S. Senate in Michigan. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Stick with us.
Savage. This is Michael Savage, and I want to tell you about an important new movie called 2016 Obama's America. 2016 tells you what Obama will do with four more years. Well, what are his...
Jackson Jr. Now, this little kerfuffle arises back in March. Before the Jesse Jackson Jr. disappeared and was later found in a mental hospital suffering from some sort of depression, which I think is something that's going to be affecting many Democrats after November 6th. However, Mr. Jesse Jackson Jr. is beating the pack there. All right, the real issue here is there was an event on March 3 or 4 of this year where Pelosi flew to Chicago to endorse Representative Jackson Jr. 17 days ahead of a heated March 20th Democratic primary that he later won. I'm reading here smatterings from the Daily Caller story. But one of the interesting things about this is there apparently were a number of people working for the Illinois state government, including the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, who were dragooned into going into this political event. Now, that is probably a violation under the Federal Hatch Act. It's probably unethical, even under Illinois. Well, maybe not under Illinois law. We are talking about Chicago here. But under federal law, it's probably illegal. This person, and I'm reading here, this is Marcy Bailey, a 22-year-old young lady who worked for the Illinois Student Assistance Commission. She was told to go to this event, and how her supervisor, this is an affidavit she signed, her supervisor told her to report her travel to and from Chicago, approximately 5 hours and 500 round-trip miles from her residence, on her time sheets so she could be paid for the time. And when she got there, she didn't want to go, but her supervisors told her she had to go. So she went there, and she got dragooned to this meeting, and apparently there was a very high political content. According to her affidavit, Bailey said, and I quote, she did not want to attend this event, and charged that the Rainbow Push Forum, quote, was soon overflowing with negative political energy directed towards the Republican Party. The two, Pelosi and Jackson Sr., discussed many adverse things about the Republican Party using harsh derogatory remarks while they reminded their audience about what they called the wonderful things that the Democratic Party was doing for the people, end quote. Apparently, this is also part of an effort to help Jesse Jackson Jr. His idea, according to this Daily Caller story, was to get a lot more students involved in this event so that they could be convinced that the Democrats were doing more for them and to get more students enrolled in these various programs that the government was paying for so that they would vote Democratic permanently. This is just another effort to buy votes. But this is corruption, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not surprised. You shouldn't be either. But this is the kind of thing we get all the time from the Democrats. And while Al Sharpton is going out there talking about, well, they're going to expose Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan because they're going to hurt people, hurt immigrants, and hurt women, and hurt minorities, this is what these people are up to. This is their fundamental nature. It is corrupt. They want to get as much money as they can from you, from the taxpayer, to funnel it to people like their supporters, like people who are on student loan programs, like getting Pell Grants, all of these things. They want people to be dependent on the federal government because, and this is very interesting here, because I think this is the kind of thing that you never see. You rarely, if ever, see that reported because this story quotes Representative Jackson Jr. as saying, quote, these people will continue to vote Democratic, end quote, if they get these benefits. This is the point. They're buying people's votes. This is why Barack Obama yesterday went out and said, well, we're going to buy up all any surplus meat and chicken and milk and so forth to buy votes from farmers. This is what these guys do all the time, every day. Your tax money that you pay into the federal government, well, a lot of it goes for good purposes like national security and intelligence, but a lot of it also goes to buy votes. And this is what's going on all across this country. You see it in program after program. It's not, I don't mean to pick on the farmers, just the farmers, but there's an awful lot of people out there. This is how you get the green corruption, the corporate, the cronyism that we see from the Obama administration. Their bundlers, their donors are getting and have gotten and have already gone bankrupt from the Solyndra thing. You see so many of these green energy companies, which are phony. We know that we're not going to have green energy anytime in the next 100 years because the technology is not there and it's not affordable. And we have very good, cheap energy that the Obama administration won't let us get to. But the basic point here is they want to get these people, like the Solyndras, they buy their allegiance. They get these people go out like the Solyndras, like people who are out there just generating money for Obama. They are out there to generate money for Obama, and in return, they get this corporate cronyism that flows back to them, the corporate capitalism, not capitalism at all, the corporate cronyism that comes to them as a payoff. This is what Democrats do. And when Nancy Pelosi and Jesse Jackson Jr. go out there to meet Reverend Jackson Sr. in Chicago, and they're dragooning Illinois state employees to go and get paid to go to these political rallies, this is what these people are doing. They're trying to just convince people, to dragoon people, to pay off people, and to, you know, basically blackmail people, like this poor gal is Ms. Bailey, to go to this event and then maybe possibly to vote for them. Well, you know, it seems to me this is why we would have a Department of Justice. This is why we would have a U.S. attorney in Chicago looking into this. But I'll tell you now, I'll tell you right now, there's not going to be a U.S. attorney looking into this because we have Eric Holder at the Justice Department, because we have people who are entirely corrupt running our federal government right now. And we're going to be talking about this and much, much more. I mean, every time I'm going to be on, and every time I get the privilege of sitting in for Dr. Savage, I'm going to be hitting these issues because it's important. It's important to understand who we are up against, and not just in this election, but in every state and local election. And we're talking to Pete Hoekstra in just a few minutes, but the basic point here is we're looking at taking the Senate, okay? The Republicans have a pretty decent shot. If things go well, if the Romney ticket proves strong, and a lot of the Senate candidates are strong, as I think they are, we might end up seeing the Republicans take the Senate. And then, you know what? It would almost not matter if Barack Obama got elected. You know, obviously that's wrong. It would matter a great deal for our national security and our economy. But the point of the matter is, if we took the Senate, if Republicans got a majority in the Senate and then a majority in the House of Representatives, nothing Obama wanted would get done. And everything Romney wanted would get done. And we might actually have a chance of rolling Obama back. That's why these Senate races are important. Everybody's focused. Everybody's focused so much now on the national race, and we should be. We need to talk about Ryan. We need to talk about Romney. We need to talk about the craziness, excuse me, coming out of Joe Biden and the dishonesty coming out of the Obama campaign. But the point is, too, we need to pay attention to some of these more local races. The statewide races, the Senate races, are extremely important. And you see an awful lot of Democrats. You see a lot of Democrats who are not even going to the convention. A lot of these people, for example, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, she's very, very... Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. All right, as promised, we're trying to focus on some of the very important statewide races. Yeah, we have to spend a lot of time talking about Romney versus Obama, but it's just as, well, almost just as important to focus on these Senate races and the House races, because without a solid majority in the United States Senate and in the United States House of Representatives, it's going to be very tough for Mitt Romney to get anything done when he gets to be president. So joining me right now is a great old friend of mine. Well, he's not so old, but he's an old friend. Former Congressman Pete Hoekstra of Michigan, running against a lady named Senator Debbie Stabenow. Pete, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Ted.
Hey, it's great to hear your voice again, pal. Let's talk a little bit about this race. Now, I think there's probably a pretty stark difference between you and Debbie Stabenow. I'm looking at her record, and she seems to have voted for every liberal whim that's come along. She voted in favor of the stimulus. She voted to confirm Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. She voted in favor of the New START treaty. She voted against stopping EPA climate regulations. I mean, where are the people of Michigan coming down on the hard issues this year? What's most important to them?
Well, I think the most important issue, and we saw this in 2010 when we elected a new Republican governor, this is all about jobs and the economy. And, you know, in 2010, they rejected the failed leadership of Jennifer Granholm and elected Rick Snyder. And I think in 2012, they're going to reject the failed senatorial service. I will not call it leadership from Debbie Stabenow, because there's no leadership there, and she's voted for the things that have crippled America's economy, like you talked about, the massive stimulus bill, Obamacare, deficit spending. She sits on a Senate budget committee that hasn't passed a budget in over 1,200 days. The people of Michigan are recognizing that we need leadership. We need to reform our tax code. We need to reform our regulatory process, get government out of the way. And as we're seeing under leadership out of Lansing, our economy is starting to get better. But now we need those same principles applied in Washington, D.C. to get the national economy going again.
Well, you've served Michigan very well. You served our nation very well while you were in Congress. And I knew you when you were on several committees, including the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Tell me where in that service you think you have made a mark already that will be relevant to this particular election.
Well, I think, you know, the ability to actually focus on getting results. You know, after 9/11, I had the opportunity to serve on the Intelligence Committee. We recognized that the intelligence community failed on 9/11. They're supposed to keep America safe. They're supposed to identify the threats. And because of the cuts during the Clinton era and other things that the Clinton administration had done to neuter our intelligence community, you know, they weren't able to identify the threat and stop the attack on 9/11. I was proud to lead the effort that, number one, recognized the need for real intelligence, recognized the need to rebuild our human intelligence capabilities, and recognized the need to break down the stovepipes and the bureaucratic processes in the intelligence community. And we did that, and we did it in a bipartisan way. Joe Lieberman was a great ally in making that happen, Susan Collins and Jane Harman. But we were able to work through that process, get that done. The end result is we've had an intelligence community now that, you know, not only has kept America safe, but was able to go after bin Laden, to find him and to kill him. And remember, those are the policies that were put in place under a President Bush, under, my leadership on the House Intelligence Committee. And those were the you know, the policies that were roundly criticized by people like Barack Obama when he was in the Senate. But when he actually became president, he all of a sudden found out, wow, it's my job to keep America safe. You know what? I think I better embrace a lot of these Bush-era policies, although it's a total reversal of what I did when I was in the Senate. So I think, you know, the work on the Intelligence Committee clearly was one of the things that I really, you know, I think I was able to make a contribution. In hindsight, you know, leading the fight, it was a failed effort. I wish I'd been successful. But leading the failed effort to defeat No Child Left Behind, you know, 10 years after this was passed under President Bush, No Child Left Behind has been shown to be a dismal failure. The federal takeover of K-12 education didn't work. I tried to beat that and to stop that and return K-12 education back to the control of local communities and parents and those types of things. I failed. I hope that when I go back into the Senate, not only will I repeal Obamacare, but I'll also work hard to repeal No Child Left Behind.
We're talking to former Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who's running for the United States Senate against Debbie Stabenow this year. Pete, let's fit this into the national race here. Now, you're someone who I know doesn't march in lockstep with anybody. I know you've got some good ideas on the economy. Let's bring it back to the economic issues. First off, you probably knew Paul Ryan pretty well when you served together in the House. What's your opinion on Ryan? What does he add to the ticket?
Oh, I tell you, Paul and I, hey, we were both gym rats, which was a nice way of saying, you know, we were so frugal we slept in our offices when we were in Washington, D.C. So he and I would see each other every morning down in the gym. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Paul Ryan. He recognized my work. He endorsed me early for this U.S. Senate run. I think he's a huge addition to this ticket. The American people know that we need to reform entitlements, that we need to save Social Security and Medicare. He's the only guy that's put forward a realistic plan to save entitlements, to get us on the path to a balanced budget. You know, so he serves as chairman of the Budget Committee. He also serves on the Ways and Means Committee, which means, you know, he's part of the group that writes tax policy. He'll lead the effort in actually reforming the tax code and giving us a tax code that will spur economic growth and development. And this is a free market guy. You know, I think he's going to make sure that this election is one about telling the American people the truth and doing it in such a way that they recognize he's serious about solving these problems in a positive way that's going to benefit all Americans. I was thrilled on Saturday morning when I heard that Paul was going to be asked to be the vice presidential nominee for, you know, for Mitt Romney and to go along with that. He's a classy guy. He's got a great family, solid character. I think he's an awesome choice.
In terms of Ryan being added and Romney's own economic expertise, in terms of the agenda for this year, do the people of Michigan understand yet that what's going on with Romney and Ryan, I mean, they're not out to take away Social Security from people who are already retired, that they're, you know, all the lies that are coming out of the Obama campaign, it seems to me, are having a little bit of an effect. Is that taking hold in Michigan? What are you hearing out on the stump?
Well, as we're out talking to folks, I mean, I'll tell you, the level of enthusiasm this week has been very, very high for Paul Ryan. Again, you know, Jed, what people recognize is they recognize that the path that we are on is not sustainable, that the Obama-Stabenow plan of this, you know, grow the economy and grow the government economy isn't the way back to prosperity. We tried that here in Michigan, and it failed miserably under Jennifer Granholm. And so what people are seeing in Paul Ryan and what they're seeing in Mitt Romney are people who are very, very serious about solving the problems and doing it in such a way that the middle class is going to benefit because they're actually going to be put back to work. They recognize, you know, today there are a lot of people not only talking about, you know, saving Medicare and those types of things, but, you know, Romney and Ryan were also talking about energy independence. You know, when Debbie Stabenow says no to building the Keystone Pipeline, she's saying no to a critical national security need, but she's also saying no to something that is very, very beneficial to Michigan's economy. I mean, Michigan is a home to the best tool and die and folks in the world, the best some of the best foundries in the world, some of the best machinists. So when you say no to new drilling, when you say no to a Keystone pipeline, you're saying to new job, or you're saying no to jobs for people in Michigan who machine things, who melt things and then machine them. And, you know, Debbie Stabenow is going to be held accountable for that. And so that's what people are talking about. And I think, you know,
let's face it, America, the man who said that we should have deregulation, no regulation, let the free market, let the free market determine the best for the people.
Savage.
Now, you know, I've criticized that rubbish from the Republicans for years. I was onto this years ago. I call them liars, the Republicans. I call them phonies. I call them gangsters. What more can I do? Say it again? What, am I going to get a halo for this? You don't know already what's true, that both parties are criminals? 99% of both parties are run by gangsters. It may as well be Mexico. It may as well be living in Mexico. What do you have, faith in any of this? You think they're going to, anyone's going to suffer? They're going to take money away from these criminals? They are the same. They give them the money back. It's a cycle.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. A couple more stories we've got to get to, but let's take at least one more call before I go into it. How about line four, Tom in South Carolina? Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello there.
You're on the air, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. First time. And I'd like to ask one thing. Joe Biden made a remark about you all will be put back in chains.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think the Republican Party should go after him and find out who you all is. You all as Americans? Are you all Democrats, Republicans, African Americans? When Obama went to 57 states in 2008 and had one more to go, the press didn't make fun of him at all.
Well, I think the press is going after him. The Republicans are going after Biden pretty well on this. And I think you're going to see an awful lot more than you've already gotten. I mean, the Mitt Romney campaign has already called Biden out on this, said he should apologize. They've called on Obama to distance himself from that and reject that statement. And it was obvious. I mean, it was obvious to everybody who observed it or everybody who was there. I wasn't there, but I observed it. And it's very clear who he was addressing that to. He was addressing that to the many hundreds of black people who were in that audience. He was basically saying, you all are going to go, well, and the you all business is phony as heck, but the basic point is he's telling the blacks that Republicans are going to put you back in slavery. That's what his message is. It's wild, it's radical, it's irresponsible, it's nuts, but that's Joe Biden for you. Hey, good call, but I think, Tom, you made a good point, but this is not going to rest. People are calling Biden out on this. I think he's in hot water. I would predict that you probably won't see Joe Biden on the campaign trail for a couple of days. They got to send him back into the White House and have his brain regrooved again somehow to try to bring this guy under control. Either that, or they're going to let him loose. He's going to say more wacky stuff, and it's going to hurt Obama continuously. Hey, great call. Thanks for it. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to take some time. There's a couple more stories I've just got to get to, and I did not want to give them short shrift, although apparently that's what we're going to end up doing because we're running out of time. All right, look, one of the most important stories that's going on in this world right now, not just in this country, but anywhere in the world, is the issue of the Iranian nuclear weapons program. Now, we have heard from the Obama administration for months and months now how we are in lockstep with Israel and how Obama's a great supporter of Israel and how he's trying to help Israel deal with Iran, and we've got all these sanctions going against Iran. Well, if you've been paying attention to the news, and let me tell you, we do it right here on the Michael Savage Show 24/7. The basic point here is we have been watching and seeing what the Israelis are reacting. And now what we saw a couple of days ago, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the Iran sanctions have failed. Not that they're going to fail, not that they are failing, not that there's some more room for diplomacy. He said the sanctions have failed. That set off some alarm bells around the world, as well it should have, because Netanyahu is basically saying, yeah, it's time that we maybe have to make a military strike against Iran. Because Israel, let's face it, Israel is a one-bomb country. One nuclear weapon and Israel is done. It would kill so many people. It would cut that country in half, cut it in pieces. And at that point, Israel would not be able to defend itself any longer. So what the Israelis are thinking of, are they really thinking in lockstep with us? Or are they, as I suspect, not even telling us what they're going to do? I think when you look at what happened the other day, Ambassador Michael Oren, I think his first name is Michael, the ambassador from Israel to the United States, was talking in an interview about how he appreciates Leon Panetta's reiteration that the U.S. is determined to prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons. But Oren said, quote, structural distance, there are structural differences between the United States and Israel which we can't ignore, end quote. He also said, quote, the United States is a big country with very large capabilities located far from the Middle East. Israel is a small country with certain capabilities located in Iran's backyard. And Israel, not the United States, is threatened almost weekly, if not daily, with annihilation by Iranian leaders. End quote. What Oren said next is the key point. This is the money quote, as we say in journalism. Quote, we've now had 5 months of diplomacy, he said, and the negotiations haven't worked. He also said that Israel is on a different clock than the United States. Israel is working on a clock that's ticking faster than Obama's clock on Iran. What does that mean? It means that Israel is facing the point where they have an existential choice. They can allow Iran to have nuclear weapons, which will happen if they wait much longer, or they can do what they need to do and strike Iran's nuclear weapons program. Whether they can destroy it entirely or knock it back 10 or 15 years, either way, it's what the Israelis have to do. And what can we expect from Barack Obama? What we can expect from Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton is no support for Israel at all. Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, Iran is a threat to us as much as a threat to Israel. Iran has been killing Americans. They killed Americans for years in Iraq, fighting against us directly and indirectly, arming the insurgents. The explosively formed penetrator was a device that was developed in Iran and sent into Iraq. The people in Iran are our enemies. If they have nuclear weapons, it will threaten us and our oil supply. It will threaten us and our Israeli friends. It will threaten everything we have at stake in the Middle East. And what is Barack Obama doing? Well, what he's doing is he's refusing to sell Israel the weapons that they need. We have very big ground-penetrating so-called bunker busters that he's delayed sending to Israel. We're not giving them the aircraft that they want. This is the kind of support that Israel gets from Barack Obama. Think about that. And what happens, just what happens if Israel has to strike Iran and they do so without American help and they can't do it as well as we could if we helped them? I'm not fooling about this, ladies and gentlemen. I firmly believe, and I think a lot of Iran experts would agree with me, that the time for diplomacy has expired because it has failed. We are at the point where Iran is going to have nuclear weapons very, very shortly. Maybe next month. Maybe next week. Maybe they already have some of them, as I've been told by some sources, that have been picked up out of the former Russian arsenal. And they may very well have them already. The question is, will America stand up for its own interests and for Israel and protect them from what Iran is doing? The answer is, under Barack Obama, we won't. The Israelis are on their own. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Really enjoyed my time with you. Hope to be back soon. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Good night.
For more information,